It's very nice to connect with you all, friends, students of our Nairobi Buddhist Temple. Good evening. I'm glad you could join us. You all are busy with all kinds of responsibilities. Life is always full of challenges that cause a lot of anxiety and stress. So it's good to take time to turn off monotonous thought patterns that keep you in a state of anxiety and purposely turn your attention to wholesome spiritual thoughts. When you do that, that's very special. And we immediately feel good, empowered. Right now, it is a perfect opportunity for that. Remind yourself to keep your body relaxed and mind calm during this time. Listen to the Dhamma talk with a commitment to learn and understand. Feel as though you have chosen this time and you're interested in exploring your life as you listen to the spiritual virtues and the principles that we discuss. When you understand Dhamma, you broaden your perspective of realities of life. It helps you to become a better human being. When you are a better human being, you nurture your own inner happiness. Because if you are a bad human being, you always suffer. Today, we are discussing another aspect of the Noble Eightfold Path. We already have discussed two ways to approach this. Do you remember? First, how the path can lead you to inner purification and enlightenment. Second, how ordinary people can apply these principles into their daily lives and live a peaceful and meaningful life. Do you remember where we ended our last session? Any of you remember? We were discussing Sammakammanta. Do you remember the meaning of Sammakammanta? Harmonious action, right? We discussed how all your actions have consequences, how they influence and shape your personal experience of life. Harmonious action, or Sammakammanta, is about giving up three harmful actions that cause suffering to yourself and to the others. Do you remember what they are? I hope you do. Taking life or killing living beings, including hurting living beings. Taking what is not given or stealing. The third one is sexual misconduct. Since we didn't have time to finish all three last time, I promised you that this time I will discuss the third one. That's why today we are going to talk about that. The third aspect of harmonious action, which is abstaining from sexual misconduct. In Pali, you remember the Pali word kamesu michachara. Kamesu michachara. Sexual misconduct. Sexual misconduct could be considered one of the single most common cause of suffering. So please pay attention. This is relevant, and understanding this is extremely useful for living a harmonious life. Let us try to understand how this virtue could be cultivated in daily life. First, we need to understand that Buddha did not look down upon sexuality or consider sexuality as a bad thing or sin. He understood the power of sexual desires, lust, and how, when mishandled or misused, can have a devastating effect in your life. Can you imagine how many millions of people around the world, across the globe, tortured, abused, mistreated, harmed, or even killed every day because of sexual desires, sexual conduct, or misconduct? Many become victims while others are becoming victimizers. You might have an experience as a victim or victimizer at some point in your life. That is why Buddha advocates harmonious sexual behavior. If you take it lightly or behave neglectfully, consequences can hurt you and everyone around you. They can negatively affect you, and you may have to carry the burden of consequences all your life. In Pali, the original Buddha's language, we call it kamesu michachara. Of course, when you observe five precepts, the third one, kamesu michachara veramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. You all are familiar with that Pali precept in Pali, which is translated as sexual misconduct. Often we find the English translation of Pali words do not convey the correct meaning, and we have been discussing this in almost every class, in trying to figure out the English words that the translators used and see whether they really match with the meaning of the Pali words. So let's look at the Pali words here. There are three Pali words, kamesu michachara. Kama, you know, kamesu, sensual. Here it is, it means sexual in this particular place. Micha is disharmonious, or not in harmony, or in conflict with. Remember where we discussed that. What is the opposite of Miccha? You remember? Samma. Samma Ditti, Samma Sankappa, Samma Vacha. So, opposite of Samma is Miccha. Samma is harmonious action or harmonious thought. Harmonious. Free of conflicts. So Miccha is full of conflicts or disharmonious or not in harmony. Chara means the behavior. So this means we need to refrain from sexual behavior that disturbs harmony, brings discomfort, hurt yourself, and cause pain or suffering to others. Here especially we are talking about the kind of sexual behavior that contribute to emotional or physical conflicts, or emotional or physical pain, hurt, or harm others, and disturb or destroy peace. At this point, I would like to ask you to look at your own life. How many of you live in pain, anger, bitterness, or are depressed due to conflicts caused by sexual experiences? Think about it for a moment. Look at your own life. How much of your restlessness, guilt, or unhappiness in life is connected to your own sexual misconduct? Because usually, sexual misconduct is taken lightly and spoken about very lightly. But the long-term consequences sometimes bring a lot of anxiety and stress to the very people who perform wrong sexual conduct. I know so many people who live in high anxiety and often live in pain because of their own sexual misconduct, especially adultery and abuse. When your actions are not in harmony with your conscience, this is very important. When your actions are not in harmony with your conscience, eventually they're going to give you problems. Eventually. They're going to take away your happiness. I have spoken with plenty of such people in my life, in my counseling sessions. Sometimes I have heard horror stories. I have seen so much pain related to sexual activities, behavior, conduct, misconduct, and so on. I used to visit US prisons for many years. During those visits, I have met many people who are incarcerated because of sexual misconduct. I have personally met people who are there because of violent acts, even killing. I have met the people who have killed others because of sexual behavior, or they are related to sexual misconduct. When sexual craving is properly understood and guided with wholesome virtues, it can add so much to the joy and happiness of your life. Not only that, it can keep you away from unnecessary conflict and suffering. One of the problems is that we are often moved by invisible biological forces that are hard to control. I'm sure you all know about that. For example, sex hormones play an important role in producing sexual desires. Estrogen and testosterone, I guess you all know about them. You're familiar. Send messages to the brain. Then brain sends signals causing emotional and physical agitation. Some research shows that how the entire body is full of receptors for sex steroid. They apparently influence the brain, causing your emotional distress and motivating you to behave often irrationally. This is why you need to observe the precepts and abstain from sexual misconduct and make a commitment to follow the guidelines that you have accepted. Then these hormones will be pushed around. The hormones will not be pushing you around and blind you. Estrogen and testosterone love egocentric, selfish people. Why would I say that? Selfish, egocentric people easily and willingly give in to the forces of lust. I think hormones know that. The hormones know that selfish people are easy to be manipulated to get what they want. Why? Selfish people have a tendency to personalize sexual desires and are willing to complete the mission in one way or the other. What I feel is me. I want what I feel. And then grasp the feelings as me and mine, then they don't care how others are affected. Others are affected by their behavior. This also makes it easy for them to get hurt and can hurt others. There is a lot of confusion around sexual behavior as well. It seems to be a pretty complicated matter. For many, love and sex are synonymous. For some, love gets thrown out of the window when they do not get sexual fulfillment. Some of you might understand well what I mean by this. It is necessary to be disciplined in order not to become a slave of the influence of hormones that cause sexual desires. We need to master them, we need to guide them. We need to handle them wisely so that we will live in peace. We won't allow these biological forces to ruin our lives. If you want success in your spiritual journey, if you want lasting fulfillment in life, you need to face this being armed with some values and ethics. You need to train the mind to think rationally and abstain from sexual misconduct. You need to stop all inappropriate, unethical, unacceptable sexual behavior. Of course, a little bit of wisdom and courage will help you to do that. When your behavior is not in harmony, your spiritual progress, the progress on the path, is seriously affected. Sexual desires, once fulfilled, does not end it. We all know that, you know that. You always have the problem of wanting more than once fulfilled and feeling agitated. When you repress sexual desires or deprive yourself from sexual fulfillment, it's even more dangerous. You have the problem of anger, bitterness, and even depression. I spoke to people sometimes who have serious mental problems, emotional issues. Because they have repressed their sexual desires, or they are deprived of fulfillment. So there are a lot of people who live in anger or bitterness and pain because they are deprived of sexual fulfillment. That is why Buddha took one step further and recommended monks and nuns to refrain from sexual behavior completely. To understand this, you must understand what it means to be a monk. Especially those days, Buddhist monks and nuns were the people who gave up worldly life in order to follow the path to enlightenment. They were fully dedicated truth seekers who lived a monastic life. They were well disciplined, well trained, a group of people who were so focused in one goal only, the goal of reaching mental purity and reaching enlightenment. They needed to be prepared and using inner strengths to deal with emotions triggered by intense influence of hormones that are human, as normal. They manage this by keeping the mind calm, keeping the body relaxed, and managing anxiety through introspective awareness. Because when the hormone sends signals to the body, if you get physically agitated, if you are a good meditator, introspective awareness can easily detect the stress and the source of stress and immediately release the stress, disconnect from the source of stress, and be in peace. Gautama the Buddha advocated celibacy for all monks and nuns and introduced several rules for celibacy because lust and sexual behavior is connected to complex and serious social and emotional ramifications. It is so easy for a monk to get distracted and derailed from the goal of reaching mental purity and enlightenment when the commitment to the path is shaky. So this is very closely tied to the commitment they make towards higher, greater, a spiritual goal. So abstaining from sexual misconduct is as a practice for harmonious action can assist you to take steady progress in the spiritual path on your spirituality. By eliminating many obstructions, distractions, anxiety, worry, and guilt, the Buddha introduced the Noble Eightfold Path as the sure way to reach ultimate liberation and enlightenment. Sure way to live a happy and harmonious life. In all steps, he's describing, explaining the barriers that can stop your journey or derail your journey. So harmonious action is the fourth step on the path. And today we talked about just one step of harmonious action. In the next session, I hope I'll discuss harmonious livelihood or Samma Ajiva, the fifth step of the path, because Ilana has told me several times, let's keep our time and manage it properly so that people can get a chance to ask questions and we can have a question and answer session at the end. So I will discuss harmonious livelihood or Samma Ajiva, the fifth step of the path, in our next session. So may you all be guided by the wisdom in your heart and see the value of a wholesome spiritual life. May you find courage and willpower within you to guard and discipline the senses. May you cause no harm, hurt, or pain to yourself or the others around you. May you be well, happy, and peaceful. Abhivadana silisa nicham vadhapachayino chattaro dhamma vadhanti ayuvanna sukham balam ayurarogya sampatti sagga sampatti mevacha atho nibbana sampatti minate samichetu. Let's say sadhu three times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.